B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
It's the 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Port Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. We're talking about whether we have impatience in this town with our star players. And of course, that identifies one player who wears the number 25. And the notion that we are being impatient, that his game has not fully developed, but what he is giving us is pretty damn good. Andrew Salchunas, our producer today, Tyrone out, is fostering the opinion that we are being impatient with Ben Simmons. Natalie Eganoff, are we being impatient with Ben Simmons?
No.
There you go, Nat. See, that's cold-hearted Northeast Philly.
Well, yes. No, I just don't see, and maybe I'm just minimizing the situation, but I just don't see why it should be a big deal for him to just shoot it. Just shoot it. Come on. It's all right.
It's all right.
You don't make it. What is it? You don't make every shot you take or something.
It's all right.
It is all right. Just shoot it. See what happens. Right?
You missed 100% of the shots.
That's it. That's it. I couldn't. Michael
Wayne
Scott.
Gretzky, Michael Scott.
So Joel Embiid spoke today?
Yes.
Did he say, no problem, Ed?
No.
Oh, did he say, honest pricing?
He was not in his Barlow.
He wasn't saying that? Oh, he wasn't?
No.
Oh, it's more than just the Barlow?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Let's hear what he had to say about honest pricing. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'm doing the progress necessary. I feel great. My finger feels good. So I'm not too concerned about what the All-Star game is going to look like. Right now we're sixth in the East. So hopefully by next week I'm able to play.
Wait, he's not saying he's playing the All-Star game, is he?
Well, he's saying he's not concerned about the All-Star game. He's more concerned the team is sixth, and hopefully next week he can play. I like that. It's a good attitude out of Joe.
He's not playing the All-Star game. Right?
He can't.
Did we get that from today or not? Or
he did like, not say I'm not playing the All-Star game.
Because I didn't hear that either.
He's saying he hopes he's back next week.
Play that again. I want to hear this All-Star thing that he said.
I'm doing the progress necessary. I feel great. My finger feels good. So I'm not too concerned about what the All-Star game is going to look like. Right now we're sixth in the East. So by next week I'm able to play.
All right. Now I'm not too concerned about what the All-Star game is going to look like. What does that mean?
Well, he was asked, the question was, are you going to play in the All-Star game? And then he started talking about his hand. And
well, he didn't say no, I can't.
He didn't say no.
What is that?
The All-Star game is not till the 16th of February. So if he's back next week.
All right.
You know he's going to want to play in the All-Star game.
Okay.
He likes the big lights, big stage.
Okay.
He's going to play in the All-Star game, especially if he's back next week.
His finger's feeling good, huh? Mm-hmm. I guarantee his finger's not feeling good.
There was video of him going one-on-one with Roy Hibbert today.
Wearing what?
Nothing on his hand.
Nothing?
Yeah, they took it off for...
Wow, that's pretty amazing surgery then. Surgery in a finger. He's bending it perfectly.
I'm sure it's going to be sore tomorrow.
Oh.
Wow. All right. Let's go, Greg, in Bethlehem. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic, Greg.
Hey, guys. I agree with you, Mike. I think we have reasonable expectations. Part of the problem, I think, is over the years, we've had very few guys that were total stars. They could do things that nobody else was doing. Doc, maybe. George Gervin, had a similar game, I guess. Lindros was a game changer. But really, when you think about it, we haven't had the pinnacle of success in this town for a long time. So I think people have expectations, but I don't know that it's impatience.
Well, when you're a star player, we identify you as a star player, okay? And star players have to produce,
right?
So you can't be impatient with a true star player. You can be impatient with a fledgling guy who could be a star, right? But when you're identified as a star, like Bryce Harper, there's expectations that come with that.
Absolutely. I mean, I guess you could say that, you know, some people are impatient with their expectations, but, you know, I think in Simmons' case, you know, they're just expectations. You know, we see what he could do, and we just don't know why he's not doing it.
Yeah, our expectations really are simple. We just want to see him shoot a basketball to make other parts of his game and the team look better. I'm not asking for life and death.
No, it's pretty straightforward. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I got you, man. All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate the call. Yeah, Julius Erving came to town. He was a star player. We had expectations, Julius Erving. George McGinnis, I think he was talking about, not George Gervin. When he came, we had expectations he was going to be the star player who would revive the franchise. That's what the expectations were. Ben Simmons has already been identified as a star player because of his ability to move on the floor and do things that only one other player in the league can do. Am I wrong? There's only one other player that can move on at his size and strength and quickness. And there's only one other guy that has that kind of ability in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, would you put Kawhi in that conversation? Kawhi's a little smaller, short and height-wise.
I guess maybe Kawhi could leak into that, but when you look at Kawhi.
I know what you're saying with the Giannis and Ben.
Do you see the flow of Kawhi, or do you see the drive of Kawhi?
I see the robotic nature of Kawhi.
Yeah, he's a grinder drive guy. I've solved the mystery of Seth Jones. Seth Jones, a black hockey player whose father was a NBA player named Popeye Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So Popeye was traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the Denver Nuggets when the kid was 5. So I guess if you grow up in Colorado, it's snowing every day.
Makes sense.
It's not like you go to the asphalt and play hoops every day. Maybe more people gravitate to hockey if they're brought up in Colorado.
Makes sense.
Because frankly, I can only think of one NBA player that came from Colorado. And that's Chauncey Billups.
It's good Colorado basketball knowledge.
That's excellent knowledge. He grew up in Denver.
Yeah. There you go.
So there you go. So Seth Jones.
I was a big Chauncey Billups fan.
You are?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's Mr. Denver.
I love that Pistons team.
Yeah. Didn't he start out with the Nuggets, though?
I think he did, but that Pistons team with Chauncey and Ben Wallace, Hamilton.
The Larry Brown team.
Love that team.
Larry Brown wanted to draft him. Who did he draft instead of him? Or was Chauncey taken before his draft? Was that the Larry Hughes draft?
Larry Hughes was the Paul Pierce thing.
Yeah, then Paul Pierce was after him, but I think Chauncey went early. Larry was talking about Chauncey Billups prior to the draft. I forget what it was. Hank in South Philly. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Hank?
How you doing, my brother? Listen, good. I just wanted to bring up a couple points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not impatient. I'm just frustrated with this dude. You know, when I first learned how to play basketball, I tried to shoot like Wally Jones. Right, mm-hmm. And if anybody out here knows about basketball, they know who Wally Jones is.
Yeah, he had the like flyaway shot.
Right. And that's how I learned to shoot, and I've never met a shot that I didn't like. But the fact of the matter is that this dude has so much potential. It's not impatience to me; it's frustration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Mike, it doesn't take anything for, you know, you shooting jumpers in practice and showing them on film. All you doing is making us go at you harder. You know, Philadelphia is a hard sports town. And if you can't, you know, play up to your potential and your superstar, quote unquote, golden child, I just can't. It's just getting frustrating right now because I can't stand to see him go to the basket, turn around, he's right there and throw it back out. Sometimes it's a turnover,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is I'm just frustrated. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah,
I agree with everything you said. But and I want to make one other point, and it's a short point.
Yes.
I watch Philly Feud all the time.
Mike,
your lists are crazy as heck. I'm telling you. I see the all-time list, and they say Will Chamberlain. I was with Cuz. How could you not put
I'm
Will
talking
Chamberlain
about
on there?
Popularity.
Oh, man.
He wasn't that popular. If you remember, Will Chamberlain caused all kinds of problems here, and he wasn't that popular. And the fans turned on him to the point where they had to trade him.
Yeah, but we won a championship with it.
1 year, and then things went bad. I'm talking about a total popularity.
Oh, come on, Mike. That's in your head.
It's not in my head. This town turned on Wilk because he turned on the team. That's why they traded him. They traded him for garbage.
Yeah, I remember. Trust me, I remember.
All right.
You know? But listen, you have a good weekend, man. Right. Thanks a lot.
All right, man. You got it. The Chauncey Billups draft, he was taken third. The Sixers took Keith Van Horn. Well, didn't they trade him?
He played for the Nets, but then did he come back?
Didn't they trade him after the draft? I can't remember.
I think they may have, but then he ended up coming back.
He did come back.
But he played for the Nets, New Jersey Nets.
Yeah, who did they trade him in the Nets? Who did they get in that draft? Because I remember Larry Brown liking Chauncey Billups. And then Chauncey went third, and Keith Van Horn they selected. I don't remember.
So it looks like they trade him to Utah.
Here it was. Drafted by the Sixers, traded 2 days later with Michael Cage, Lucius Harris, and Don McLean to the New Jersey Nets. For Jim Jackson, Eric Montross, Anthony Parker, and Tim Thomas. Tim Thomas was a draft pick that was also in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken.
Eric Montross is one of those names where you go, oh my God.
How would they make that deal? Why would they just take Chauncey? They got Jim Jackson, Eric Montross, Anthony Parker, and Tim Thomas. They got crap for the second pick in the draft. Oh, John and Philly are on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, John?
I'm doing well, man. I think I pretty much agree with most, if not everything that you're saying. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're being impatient or the fans are being impatient at all. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening for the past couple of weeks, and you pretty much are saying that dude is a golden child. I'm talking about Ben Simmons now.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a guy who grew up in Australia, and then he's treated a certain way, now he comes in the NBA, then the media, which is yourself, Mike, and everybody else, crown this guy as the next Magic Johnson. He gets this big contract. It's very difficult for you to tell him to do anything otherwise. Now, his mentality and his attitude is like that, and it's going to be very different. I think the organization is going to have to take a different approach. The approach that I'm thinking that they should take is to ignore him a little bit, because I also remember you also were saying that a dude like that, you tell him to do one thing, he's going to do the opposite. So they should try to get fillers to fill the gaps that he's not willing to do right now.
But what they should, let's try reverse psychology. Hey, Ben, listen.
Yes, exactly.
We don't want you to take a shot. Don't take any outside shots at all. We don't want you to take a shot.
No, Mike, we're not saying to tell him not to take a shot.
Well, that's reverse psychology. So this way he goes, they don't want me to take a shot? Now I'm going to show them.
Something like that, but you're not directly telling him to not do it. You would mm-hmm. get guys in here who are going to shoot the shot. Because to think about trading Ben Simmons, Mike, is ridiculous. The guy's too good, do too many things. Another thing is the reason why we're so frustrated is because he's so good and he's not being aggressive every night. I'm thinking that if he was being aggressive every single night, then we wouldn't be so disappointed.
Well, of course.
Or so patient with
it. And the example is the Nets game.
Exactly. Now you're dropping 28 and 14 and eight boards and like two or three steals. We would never be angry with this guy if he's a little bit more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm thinking, man. If we should get some fillers to fill those and ignore him a little bit. You know what I mean? And get some, and I think it would that would probably work a little bit. If not, the dude just needs to be more aggressive, man. And we can't get rid of him, though. We can't get rid of him.
No, nobody's getting rid of him. Of course, it's the answer that, okay, what can replace him not shooting? Play like he did against the Nets. Well, the next game, he gets 7 shots on the board. And then you go, all right. So here it is, the reverse psychology thing. Hey, Ben, listen. We don't want you to take any shots. You look so terrible at it that you're embarrassing me and the team if you actually attempt to take a jump shot. So I don't even want to see it.
I like that.
And then he goes, oh, yeah? I sure do. Yeah? Really? All right, we'll see.
That might be the strategy.
The reverse psychology strategy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a
revolting
strategy for a reason.
It makes me want to throw up every time I watch you try to take it. I don't want to see it.
It's the last thing he would want to hear.
Or he goes, oh, you're embarrassed now? And then he starts just chucking it over the basketball and throws it into the crowd.
Listen, man.
Scores in the wrong net.
I'm desperate. Brett Brown's desperate to the point where he comes out and does it publicly. I'm desperate enough to try to play reverse psychology on a dude.
There has to be some sort of sports psychologist who can, you know, try and work with him, right? To try and get past the mental barrier.
I would think, but see, he would have to accept that first. There's no way that he's going to accept it. What? I have what? I have a flaw? You only talk to sports psychologists? Get out.
That's why I think
I'm Ben Simmons.
Minimizing it, maybe.
Yo, Kendall, come on. Let's go.
Minimizing it. Oh, not a big deal. No one cares. Right?
Let me tell you something, Ben. I actually, when you take a shot, I break out in hives. That's how distasteful it is. Look at this. Look at those boils.
Ew. You know, ew.
Just go crazy, go nuts. You know, see how he responds to it.
Boil is one of those words I don't need to hear.
No.
Boil is on like a level of ointment.
Open wounds when you shoot a basketball. It's good.
Festering.
It's Jim in Havertown. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Mike, you sound disappointed to go to me. What's the matter with you?
I'm always disappointed to go to you.
I'm kind of disappointed myself that I call so often that I'm that bored.
I heard you last night with Anthony, too.
Yeah. I didn't call you, so I had to call somebody. Yeah. And I enjoy talking to Anthony,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I texted Anthony. I said, get him off the air.
You listened, though, didn't you?
No, I went to music.
Yeah, okay. I'm sure you bothered yourself to change the channel. Yo, man, I told your producer or whoever answers the phone, Andrew producing, nice guy who answers your phone. I said he could possibly go into the Hall of Fame because he's so good at everything else without ever becoming an outside shooter.
No.
I knew you weren't going to disagree with it.
No.
But if you put that out there,
he's not going to score enough points to do that.
What's the average now, Mikey?
16.
Now, you don't think there's anybody?
He's not going to the Hall of Fame averaging 16 points a game.
There's people in the Hall of Fame, Mikey, average less than 15.
You're insane.
Yeah?
Yeah, give me the list of people who average 15 points a game are in the Hall of Fame.
The worm.
The old school guys? Where they used to tap the ball on the top?
The worm.
What worm?
Come on, do you know the worm?
Dennis Rodman?
You don't think Dad's going to go to the Hall of Fame?
Well, yeah, but he had just a select specific skill that was better. By the way, he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. But since he's in it, his skill was so extraordinary
in
one area.
Mike, you know your opinion doesn't matter when he goes in, right?
Terrible.
If he goes in, your opinion is moot. It doesn't matter anymore.
It's a terrible analogy. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Like,
what do you mean I don't know what you're talking about?
Yeah. What are you doing?
Somebody less than 15 in there, and I said, yeah, the worm. And you're saying he doesn't belong in there. I'm saying your opinion doesn't matter if he's in. If he's in, your opinion doesn't matter. He's legit if he's in. Anybody who's in any Hall of Fame is legit.
You finished.
I'm not finished.
Yes, you are.
his arguments are like at an angle. Like, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
He just has thoughts that he wants to tell you. He just wants to tell you what he's thinking that day.
Well, he's the oddest caller ever in my life.
At least he didn't bring up Joe Montana unannounced. We had that earlier.
I swear to God, I heard him on with Anthony last night. I go, please limit him to a minute.
I'm disappointed. He said he was going to stop calling you and start calling middays. And he hasn't called middays.
He called Anthony last night on the Cousin's Corner.
He can't. He has to call Mike. He has to just tell Mike what he's thinking.
I like Jim.
I like him, too.
What do you like
Don't tell him that.
How can you possibly like him?
I don't know. I like
what
Jim.
What do you like about the guy?
I don't know. He called me on New Year's Eve. I said, hey, Happy New Year, Jim. And he said, thanks.
He kind of reminds me of, like, the crazy uncle that, like, everybody gets annoyed with, but you kind of love him anyway.
I don't love an uncle that annoys me.
I'd have a beer with Jim. Or two.
Why would I like an uncle that annoys me? I'd avoid him.
Like the loud uncle, you know?
Yeah, I avoid the loud uncle.
Oh, I'm nice to the loud uncle, that's why.
Well, because you're nicey.
I'm going to be the loud uncle one day. I know for a fact.
You won't be a loud uncle.
No, you're right. I'll be the one with my feet up in the recliner.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
LeBron James just won the MVP of the McDonald's All-American high school game. It just ended.
Congrats, LeBron.
Yes. Time for an update of our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eggenoff, who last night was at the Franklin Institute.
Yes, I was.
The terrarium. What was it in? The solarium?
The solarium?
The planetarium? The planetarium. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No,
we'll talk about that afterwards. Yes. Give me the Twitter poll first.
Twitter poll update. Over 1,000 votes on this one. Is Philadelphia more impatient or frustrated when it comes to Ben Simmons? 65% say frustrated. 35% say impatient.
35% say impatient. We're being impatient.
Yeah.
It was like, what, 82, 18?
35% of the populace voting on this to think we're being impatient with Ben?
35% of 1,040 people.
They listen to my well-stated points.
Yeah, we're not, by the way, being impatient. All right, so hold on a second, Nat. So last night you go to this thing. What was it?
So the Franklin Institute does Science After Dark. It's for adults, and it was Roaring Twenties themed, and you got to go throughout the museum, and they have like little different exhibits set up. And
you dressed
it was
like
really
a
cute.
Roaring Twenties person?
My friends did, but I came right from here, so I didn't really have the time. But I did wear a headband for a minute.
You didn't do the flapper?
No, but my friends were all dressed up.
As flappers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they looked great. It was actually really awesome. They had like live music, and there was dancing. It was really, really well done. Mm-hmm. But I visited the sports section that they have there. You can race the Fanatic, so I raced the Fanatic. And then they have like a
you
pitch.
You raced the Fanatic with a video?
Yes.
Did you beat him?
Yes.
You beat the Fanatic?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, so I beat the Fanatic. Uh-huh. And then I threw out a pitch in the little pitching machine thing.
Through the first ball?
Yeah.
And you're getting ripped.
I'm getting ripped. But I did it in...
Short-armed it a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was very, like, overhand. Yeah,
you didn't get the good rotation.
Well, no, because I was wearing a dress and heels.
Well, that probably had something to do with it. But
yeah,
people,
if I was in, like...
ripping you because you had half-arm delivery.
Yeah, kind of like T-Rex arms.
You didn't stretch it out all the way to the top.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't know it was going to be criticized. I kind of put it out there as a joke.
Of course it's going to be criticized.
Yeah.
What are you kidding me? Now.
It's funny.
People didn't live to criticize.
I know, but I didn't know, like, even a former Philly criticized it.
A former Philly?
Yeah.
Who?
Brett Myers?
Brett Myers follows you?
I don't know. I just saw that he was talking, giving me some tips.
All right, following that. Look at that. That about Andrew.
Yeah, I just saw that he quote tweeted it. I don't know if he follows me, but
a little peculiar.
Yeah, it's on my Twitter, but it got a lot of reaction, and I don't think it's fair that I'm being criticized for a pitch done in dress and heels.
Yeah, Brett Myers follows the station. He's been on a few times.
Yeah.
Country music star.
That's right.
Baptized in I forget what it's called. Baptized in oil or baptized in gasoline.
I'll never forget.
What's his album called?
I was in the locker room after they won the World Series. And my man was walking around with a big ball jar. And he's going, "Hey, dude, take a sip." Like, what is pear moonshine?
Yes.
Did you take a sip?
Hell no. Pear moonshine. Yeah, it's been fermenting all year. I go,
yikes.
All right, man, have fun. Kevin in Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
Mike, I think you're onto something with this reverse psychology. And I'd like to add something. Ben, I mean, we talk about Ben not shooting two with blue in the face. His coach can't reach him. His teammates can't reach him. Dr. J can't reach him. So why don't we just stop talking about it, period? Because we don't know how this guy thinks. That might be adding fuel to the fire.
Well,
he's talking about it. Let's just stop talking about it.
Well, it's not our responsibility to stop talking about it.
I'm just saying, Mike, because we don't know how this guy thinks. So,
listen, man, I gotta live my life. I ain't worried about what Ben Simmons is going to think. You know what I'm saying, Kevin?
I'm just saying, but he might be thinking that. He's always.
I'm sure they don't talk about it. They've stopped talking about it inside because he's tired of hearing it.
I'm saying
reverse psychology actually is, Ben, your shot is repulsive. I think you're doing the right thing. Don't even take it because I break out a rash when you do. And you go that way with him.
All right. Well,
and then he goes, "Oh yeah, we'll see about that." And then he starts shooting.
That's what I'm trying to get to that, too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. You got to talk about it in the opposite way. That's reverse psychology, not just not talking about it.
Well, with this guy, Mike, you never know.
I got you.
With this guy.
All right, man. Let's go. Danny in Connecticut. What's up, Danny?
Mike, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. I want to touch on Ben, but to close the Seth Jones story. I remember when he was getting drafted, they were interviewing Popeye Jones, and it goes to after you said that he got traded to the Denver Nuggets. He said Seth was bugging him. Like, he was watching, he started getting into watching the Avalanche, and he was bugging him all the time. "Dad, I want to play hockey. You want to play hockey?" So because Popeye knew Joe Sakic and a lot of the guys from the Avalanche from, like, you know, being at the arena all
right.
that, he finally went up to him and just like, "Joe, man, what do I do? My kid really wants to play hockey. He doesn't even want to play basketball." So Joe Sakic basically took him under his wing and got him into development, you know, the way he did. Yeah. Yep.
That's a pretty really good cool story. I didn't know the Sakic connection.
Yeah, he and Popeye and Joe were pretty tight, actually.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
So the Ben thing, you know, Mike, we're not impatient asking for this. You said it yourself. We're not looking to see a cartwheel behind the back jump shot. We're looking to see the most basic, fundamental thing in the sport of basketball. It's a jump shot. To use an analogy, and the analogy is going to sound ridiculous because what Ben is doing or not doing is ridiculous by not shooting a basketball. It's the equivalent of a five-tool potential baseball player who could steal 50 bases a year, can run like a deer, play elite defense, swings the bat in batting practice because Ben shoots jump shots in before the game.
Yeah.
But when he gets up to bat, he freezes. He doesn't want to strike out, so he bunts every time. That is it's a laughable analogy that Ben Simmons will not take a jump shot. It's the equivalent of a baseball player not swinging a bat. And that's why it's frustrating and maddening and why we're not impatient. We're not asking for anything but a jump shot. And the other stat that is alarming that you talked about the other day is showing that he's not aggressive, particularly in the fourth quarter. That he only has, like, what, 15 points in the fourth quarter in the last 11 games or something like that, or some ridiculously low number.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
That shows me that he's afraid in big moments, and that's a mental block that could last an entire career, and that is what is frightening.
Yeah, well, listen, man, this notion that I just heard it today, that we're impatient with our star players. No, we're not. We expect star players to deliver X performance, you know? I don't have any more patience for a guy who won't do a fundamental thing like take a shot.
Correct. It doesn't make
me wrong. It makes him wrong.
No question. We're talking about his fourth year out of college.
Yeah.
And he still won't do the most basic fundamental thing in the sport. Sorry, it's not impatient.
I got you. All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. 610-622-0975. I watched a Sixers game. I listened to Al, all right? And it occurred to me that I covered the last game Al Abdelnaby ever played in college.
Is that right?
Huh? Or a national championship game.
Well, that's awesome.
They got rung up. Dookie's lost to UNLV. A monster score. And then the next year they came back and they beat him. Right? There's something like 100, like 103. They smoked them. UNLV smoked them.
Really?
Yes. In the 1990 championship game. Because it was in Denver. Wonder how Al did in that game. 103-73. 103-73, they smoked them. Dude, I got to check on the scoring in that game. 610-622-0975. There's one line open. Mike Missinelli shows back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I like to go back. Right now, there's a game on. The Marquette's playing Gonzaga. The Jimmy Butler playing for Marquette. Do you love that stuff?
No.
No. You don't think that's cool looking at Jimmy Butler, young Jimmy Butler playing cool in college?
But, you know, I have it on here at the studio at work. If I was at home, I don't think I'd be watching it.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's intriguing to me.
I'm more of a
guy. Like, how good were they in college? I look at Jimmy Butler. I don't remember how good he was at Marquette.
Could you still watch like a full game?
Well, depending on who was in the game. Like, I could watch LeBron. The two high school games that I watched LeBron on today, they were spellbinding.
Yeah. So you were fascinated.
I was fascinated. In. The way he dominated great like high school teams. Like, with that team. That team was a good team that he played with. They were all really in sync. Well coached. All right, so I just looked up that game. It was 1990. They lost by 30. It was the largest margin in a national championship game. UNLV, Duke. UNLV had Anderson Hunt with 29. Grandmama. Larry Johnson with 22 and 11. Greg Anthony. Stacey Augman. 4-5 starters. Pretty good team. Duke. The Dukies, Al actually had a pretty good game in his last college game. 14-7 for Allah.
Not good for partner.
Partner had 14. Leighton 15. Phil Henderson 21. Bobby Hurley 0-3 from the field.
Sounds like a Ben Simmons game.
Not a good game for Hurls. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's talk to David in Center City. David, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. David.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, David?
I've sent you a couple emails, one yesterday, about my feelings about the Sixers team, and maybe my perspective is a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've overvalued this team and overvalued Ben and Joe. I think they're really good players. I think that we've got a collection of good players on this team. But in my opinion, it's a fourth seed team. I think you need a real special player. You know, we don't have a Giannis, a LeBron, a Steph, a Kawhi. We don't have a guy like that. And Ben is not that guy, and Joe is not that guy. You know, Joe's 22-11. That's pretty good.
But yeah, I don't think we've overvalued them because they have unique skills to the league. It's just that the Ben Simmons has to be a 25-point-per-game scorer. Now, and until that happens, you're right. They're a flawed team now. They don't have enough scoring. So that's incumbent upon Elton Brand to build around that. But I don't think they're an overvalued. They're overvalued two players. There aren't many guys in the league that can do what those two can do skill-wise.
I don't disagree with that. I just don't know that they can take it to the next level. If Joe,
well, that's another matter. You're saying we overvalued them. I don't think we've overvalued them. They have to take it to another level, but their skill set is very unique in the league.
I agree with that. I don't think, my point is, I don't think they can take it to another level. I think they are. I think Joe is 20.
Yeah, there's no reason why they can't take it to another level though. Like, well, unless the guy just doesn't take a shot the rest of his career, there's absolutely no way that Ben can't get better.
Well, he hasn't gotten better in 3 years.
Three years not taking a shot is a very interesting phenomenon. I will agree with that.
I don't get all that frustrated with this because I think that, you know, a guy like Jay Rich, he's a sixth man. I don't think he's a starting two guard on a championship team. I look at the bench, and
right. They're not good enough. They're not good enough. But that's not because of Joel and Ben Simmons right now. Their games aren't as good as they should be, but they could get there. And until they get there, it's incumbent upon you to put better players around them.
Yeah, no, I agree. My point is that I don't think that either one of those guys is one of the special players that you need on a championship team. I think you need to get one of those special players, and then you've got Ben and Joe around the guy, and now you've got a championship team. I don't think either one of those guys.
No, I don't agree with you because, like I say, there's only a handful of people with unstoppable athleticism. Ben Simmons is one of them. How many centers as versatile as Joel Embiid? You know, I know people go, well, this process failed. They get two guys whose skill set is like among the best in the league. When you really think about it, it just has to be developed further. Matt Hazelton, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up,
I love
Matt?
The show.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, so first I just want to say, too, I watched Philly Feud last night from the Callers versus the host.
I was on
that
again
was awesome.
Last night, huh?
That was great. Yeah, that's the first time I got to see it. It was awesome.
I have not watched the finished product yet.
No. And the interview,
I DVR'd it.
Yeah, and the interviews that you guys did really neat. Now I saw Natalie's interview and Anthony's interview and Tyrone's interview, and that was really cool. I enjoyed that. But talking Ben Simmons, and I feel we have the expectations, like you said, and I don't think we're unjust in our expectations for not only him scoring more points, if he would develop that, as you talked about before, that Donovan Mitchell game, that's what I want to see as well, because I feel like that's what could take him to that next level, because for a number of reasons, not only his scoring, but I feel like he hurts the team also in those half-court sets, because oftentimes, how often are they in a set, or he has the ball, he gets by, he maybe blows by one guy, gets stopped by another, he could pick and pop that little 12-footer, if he would learn to shoot that, we'd be golden, but it's down to maybe 5 seconds on a shot clock, and all of a sudden he passes it to somebody that can't create their own shot in 5 seconds, and we throw up a wild three or something.
It's a flawed way of playing. He can get to the basket anytime he wants, and he stops himself because he sees a gate. Now, he's sophisticated enough, athletic enough to get through, slow through the gate. But you're right, taking the short, medium-range jump shot will open that gate considerably for the next trip down the floor. And for some reason, he just doesn't understand that. For the life of me, don't see how he doesn't understand it.
And I also think, Mike, it also affects some of his, and he's a terrific passer, as we all know. I think it takes away from some of what he could do in the half court because they can sag back off of him a little bit. Yeah. And
he is unwittingly sabotaging his team's efficiency.
Right.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, man. Yeah, well, I've been going to say it for a long time. That's why I'm nuts about it. I'm nuttier about this than anything I've ever been in Philadelphia sports. And I'm pretty much a nut. Nothing comes close to the frustration that I felt with this guy of anything I've ever covered.
That's interesting.
Yep.
But I get it.
It's it far and away blows everything else away. I'm trying to think what could be second.
Can I frustrate you even more?
What?
Mel Kiper put out his first mock draft. That never ends, does it? He'll have, what, like 50 more?
Uh-huh.
He has the Eagles taking T. Higgins out of Clemson.
All right, that's good.
Yeah, but they already have him listed as a non-explosive receiver, but a good jump ball receiver.
It's okay. He's one of the better ranked receivers. I'm taking one of them.
All right.
I'm taking one of the receivers that are ranked pretty
high. So you're going to have Whiteside on one side and Higgins on the other?
Wow.
Non-explosive?
If he's the best on the board, I would love more speed, but you can't go wrong with that dude. 610-622-0975. Two lines are open. It's a chance to talk to Brian Westbrook about the T.O. McNabb feud, among other things. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.